God is good. Amen. We're going to be in Psalm 103, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And please, please, don't be in a hurry today. We're going to be praying for people at the end. And if you need a touch from the Lord, whether it's physical, emotional, you have a need, we want to pray for you at the end of this service. So please avail yourself to that. God is here and he knows you. He sees you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what concerns you. And he's very, very, very compassionate. And he does or is willing to give you what you need. And he wants you to know that. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are good and we can bless your name. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, we have a choice, Lord. We can bless your name because of who you are and what you have done for us, Lord. And I want to thank you today. I want to bless your name. I want to humble myself before you, Lord, and give thanks to your holy name. I love you, God. I'm so thankful for you. You've been nothing but good to me all of my life, Lord. I'm the one who goes astray. I'm the one who doesn't believe you at times. I'm the one, Lord, who is guilty and, if anything, is to be blamed. But, Lord, never you. You always do right. You're a righteous judge. You're a merciful God, and I thank you today for revealing that to us through your son, Jesus, for giving us your word that tells us who you are, that expresses your heart to all of mankind. And Lord, when I look at your heart, all I see is a merciful God. Though you are holy, you are merciful. And I pray, Lord, you would help anyone today that doubts that goodness, that mercy. Help them, Lord, to know who you truly are, not what their own thinking, what the world, what the devil has lied to them about, Lord, but help them to know what you have said and revealed about yourself this morning. Anoint your word. Let your word accomplish what you desire it to accomplish today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you not to grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. I think one of the songs said, give me vision to see things as you see them. I'm sure Job, in the beginning of his trials, didn't see or understand what God's intended end was. But God was good all the way through Job's testimony. Even the seemingly bad things, not seemingly, they were bad things that God allowed. They weren't from God, but he allowed it. But he was doing good through it all, and he's doing good to you, no matter what you feel like. No matter what your mind is telling you, he is doing good to you. And Brother Justin spoke on that Friday night. He was good not to let that tornado come down. But, you know, it would have been good either way, right? I told Rose, we would all been sucked out the door while we were worshiping him. Praise the Lord. Been in heaven. Right? See, either way, we could bless the Lord, right? And that's what this psalm is about. And it's written by David, not when everything was going great. And there's times in our lives we have to remind ourselves, we have to remember all of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. That's the name of the message this morning. Forget not all of his benefits. It's very, very, very important, because if you forget, you will grow weary. If you forget, you'll stop running your race. If you forget, you might be prone to an evil heart of unbelief that starts accusing God and murmuring and complaining, just like the children of Israel did, and miss out on what God, the good he's trying to do to you. That's all he's trying to do is good, because he's a good God. He is holy. We can never forget that he's a holy God, an unapproachable God, but yet he's good. He's not a mean tyrant. If he were, none of us would be here. I used to say this all the time back in the day, thank God that I am not God, because none of you would be here. It's just true. His anger is perfectly controlled by mercy. He has a righteous anger that I think most of us don't really understand. We just don't. So as we were practicing this morning, Marcus was praying, and he was praying for all of you, and basically his prayer was, Lord, I know maybe some are having a bad day or they have had a bad week, and I'm thinking, man, we have a bad life living here in this world. Life is not fun here. It just isn't. We live in a fallen world. That's why we shouldn't put our hope, we shouldn't be looking to this world for anything. Our hope is in God. Our hope is not in our lives in this world. If you're looking for happiness in this life, you are going to be sorely let down. Your joy, your happiness only will come from God, and our absence of any trials or anything bad is going to be only one day when we're with him forever. Until then, we must, through many trials, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. It's just the way it is. But yet, in the midst of it all, God wants us to bless his holy name. Not just a little, not just bless his holy name. No, he says in this psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And I love how some of the commentators describe this, but the basic idea you get of it is that every cell, every fiber of your being, every thought, everything in you, inside of you, is praising God. It's not just a little, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, he's good. Bless the Lord. And it doesn't necessarily have to be this big emotional thing, though I think when that's happening, it just gets emotional. And that's okay. But sometimes it's a quiet, just groaning almost, bless the Lord, in the midst of pain and suffering. Somehow, some way, everything inside of us, despite it, is saying, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You are good, God. I don't think Job was standing up and saying, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. When he's sitting scraping his boils and he's covered from head to toe, he's lost everything. And his wife's there telling him, curse God and die. But it says he didn't sin with his lips. And he says, shall we not accept bad and evil? Right? I came naked in this world. I'm going to leave naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So even in the midst of that, everything in him is saying, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And sometimes we have to talk to ourselves that way when we're going through it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. He's good. And he repeats it, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then here's the key verse. Because if you don't do this, you're not going to want to bless him. And forget not all his benefits. And I don't think they're all listed in this psalm, all the benefits in God. But yet, I believe the important ones are that I want to look at. So when he says, forget not all of his benefits, he now begins to describe what they are. And he says in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities? I could just stop there, really. And I don't know how many times I've told the Lord, you don't have to do one more thing for me. I am a blessed man because my transgressions have been forgiven. I could say that like the psalmist said. I think it's in Psalm 34. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. So just that in itself, and I think that's why he listed as the first one, because this really is the most important thing that we should be shouting inside, bless the Lord. He has not dealt with me, it says this later on, according to my sins. Bless the Lord. Right? There's no greater reason. Because when you think about sin, right? Our sin. When you think about Adam and Eve's original sin, think about sin. Where does all of our pain, where does all our sorrow, all the things we go through in this life, all the trials, where does it all come from? Sin. And I say that because I want to make this clear. It does not come from God. The minute we start accusing God, why did God do this? God didn't do it. God made a remedy. God made a way. He is not the author of it. He's good, and he wants to do good. But we all know, and I don't have to go through it with you all, but we know what happened in the garden. We know the results of that, and we see it in our world increasingly getting worse and worse and worse. We see it in our own bodies. I see it in my poor little dog who's on her last leg. Every time I look at her, it reminds me we're dying. I thought she died yesterday. I couldn't find her. She was upstairs laying because she's losing her hearing. She doesn't hear me now. And then she was just laying there. I thought she's dead. I kicked her and she jumped up. All right, she's still alive. But, you know, I look at my dog and just, it's like, yeah, we're dying. Man, this world is cursed. It's sad. It's sad. There's a heaviness about it. And we don't understand these things we go through, the heaviness we feel. It's all balled up in all the things we deal with because of the fall. There's a heaviness about it. But praise the Lord. He's made a way for us to rise above that. Even though we feel it, we experience it at times, we don't have to stay in it like those that don't know Christ. We have something to bless the Lord about. We've been freed from the power of sin. We've been freed from the curse of sin. And we are reconnected, reunited with our God because our transgressions have been forgiven. Bless the Lord. Right? James 1:15 says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And we see it all around us. Don't we? Yeah. In that day you eat of it, you will surely die. And what's the devil say? No, you won't. I used to use this illustration all the time. For anyone that still smokes, there's something on the side of that pack. I think it's still there. This can cause cancer or will cause cancer. But we're that guy that, yeah, but it's not going to happen to me. I remember doing the funeral of a dear man who came to the Lord who smoked like a chimney and he died of lung cancer. And his son was at the funeral smoking like a chimney. I'm like, dude, look at your father. It's not going to happen to me. We're like that with sin. We think we can play around with it. Nah, it's not going to happen to me. No, the end of sin is death. It's, sin is serious. But blessed are you if your transgressions are forgiven. That's something to bless the Lord about, isn't it? Right? We haven't just been delivered from death here. We've been delivered from another death, a second death, that it talks about in Revelation, where for all of eternity, people will be separated from God, thrown into a lake of fire. It's called the second death. Bless the Lord. He's redeeming. Bless the Lord. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. So I don't care what's going on. That's all that matters. Bless the Lord if your sins have been forgiven. Psalm 32 is quoted by Paul in Romans 4 when he's talking about what it means to be justified by faith, not works. And he's using Abraham as an example, that he was justified basically because he believed God. And it's a picture of faith and what Jesus did on the cross. So he quotes Psalm 32. And so it's Psalm 32. I think I said Psalm 34. It's actually Psalm 32, another Psalm of David, when he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then he begins to describe what it was like to have that sin weighing upon him. And he literally even is sick in body from it. His bone, it talks about his bones aching and wasting away, and the hand of God being heavy upon him and having no rest in his soul. It's a picture of what it's like when sin is not covered. But thank God he repented. And he says, I acknowledge my sin to you. In verse 5, my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me my sin. Hallelujah. Yes. Bless the Lord. There it is. Bless the Lord. Have you confessed your sins? Mm-hmm. He's faithful. He's just. He will cleanse you from all righteousness. Bless the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm excited about it. It's awesome. I don't think we understand the gravity of it. It needs to be more real to us. And then it also needs to be real for those who haven't. I was thinking about that the other day when I was reading about the wrath of God over people. The wrath of God is just sitting over people, just waiting to be unleashed. We should know what it's like to have that removed. But we should also know or understand God's heart to want to rescue others from that wrath. It's a frightening thing, and it all points to that second death, where you experience that wrath, that separation for all of eternity. That's what he's rescued us from. You forgave me for this cause. Everyone who is godly shall pray for to you in a time when you may be found. There comes a time when he's not found anymore. He's here now. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Wow. Be glad. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice. You righteous, shout for joy. All you upright in heart. Feel like we should just break out in praise. That's why I know I've said this. That's why I love worshiping the Lord. What's it going to be like when I see him and the reality that I can't explain to in words is real to me when I finally really understand? And I think that's why we'll just fall at his feet. We'll cast our crowns. We'll just weep and just thank him for all of eternity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, what is that going to be like? So now he goes on, and he includes the benefits of having our sins forgiven, who heals all your diseases. Now I'm going to park on this one a little bit, and we're going to this is part of what we're going to be praying for at the end, because when it talks about diseases here, it's not just bodily disease. It's every kind of disease that sin brings with it. It's emotional, it's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual, okay? But I want to touch on physical. I felt led to do this. This is something that's been on my heart even before, you know, we found out about Rose. This has been going on for a long time with me, that I've been asking God a lot of questions, because I believe God for everything, okay? But then you look and it doesn't always pan out the way you think it should. So I'm just going to share with you some things, okay? Some things. I am in no way going to answer all your questions, but my hope for you is that you will understand God heals. He wants to heal, okay? And he can heal. That, if you just leave with that, I'm good, okay? All right. So part of our redemption is God healing people, and we see it in the life of Jesus. It's part of our mission statement, isn't it? And we see that includes a whole bunch of things, and it's part of how we share the gospel. It's part of the Great Commission. It confirms the message. So it is part of it, okay? And again, we see it with Jesus, large crowds following them, but there's one thing that sticks out that you need to get in your heart and your mind when you're doubting, when you maybe don't understand, when you want to accuse God. Just remember Jesus looking out at the crowds, and it's saying he was moved with compassion and he healed them all. And what that shows us is God's heart, that he's compassionate and it's his desire to alleviate our suffering, okay? That doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. That doesn't mean we're never going to get sick, okay? We have to balance this, but his desire is to relieve that suffering, and he shows it in his life. We see it in the early church, and he's still doing it today. That's his heart. Don't ever doubt his heart, because he is willing. I always think of the blind man who's crying out, "Son of David, have mercy." And Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" "Well, Lord, if you're willing, I'd like to see." And Jesus says, "I'm willing." So God is willing, okay? Does that mean he always does what we want? Not necessarily. So I'm just going to share a couple of quotes from a book I read. It's called God's Heart for Healing. It's actually a pastor. He lives up in Cincinnati. I didn't even realize that. I saw the interview on the Remnant Radio, and it just piqued my interest. And so I read the book, and the book was just full of scripture. Just full of scripture. Formerly Reformed, and now he's, you know, Holy Spirit, Pentecostal. You know, they have prayer rooms. And so he's, what I like is he's a man of the word. So these are just some quotes, okay? And so the whole book is just questions. And then he just applies scripture to the question. So just a couple of quotes from there. Just some questions I felt like I wanted to bring to the forefront today on this topic, okay? So, is healing available for today? Well, I kind of already shared that, didn't I? Yes, it is. It's clear in Scripture. Well, why don't some people receive divine healing? Well, oftentimes it's a mystery, okay? It just is. A few of the scriptural answers we know are there's possible unbelief. They just don't believe. We see with Jesus, right? He says he couldn't do much in his hometown because of unbelief. They just didn't believe. You know, they just saw him as, oh, that's Joseph's son. They brought him down to a level that didn't create faith to believe him for the impossible. So sometimes it's unbelief, right? Sometimes it's just a failure to ask. I don't believe that's for today, so why ask, right? Sometimes it's just not being persistent because it didn't happen right away. We see pictures of that in Scripture. Sometimes it takes years. You know, if I say Smith Wigglesworth, what do you think of? Power, healing, right? The man had gallstones, or not gallstones, kidney stones for 3 years. God finally healed him, but 3 years of painful. There's testimonies of people spending the night with him and writhing in pain, rolling on the floor. He raised people from the dead, but yet his son died. It's a mystery. Right? I don't understand it, but I know God heals. I don't have to understand it. God is God. You understand? God's going to do whatever he wants to do. But he doesn't want us to doubt that he's willing and that he's able. Now, I'm thankful for the different ways God blesses humanity. He does it supernaturally sometimes, but you know, you think about it, he's put herbs and different things in the world that can alleviate. It's all mercy from God. You know, it's all the goodness of God. I take medicine for some ailments I have. I'm thankful for it. I believe it's from God. I believe God gives man wisdom. I'm thankful for doctors. He uses doctors to heal. Now, I'm going to share something with you. It's very interesting. The man who wrote this book has a son who had severe seizures from a child that were really just debilitating him. And they prayed for years and years and years and years. And finally, I think it was like 7 years, God healed him. He's off his seizure medication and hasn't had a seizure. His other baby was born with a brain tumor. And they went to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They did surgery, but they couldn't get all of the tumor. And the little boy has lived with this tumor. He's probably a teenager now. There's 10% of it. And he's living a normal life. And so he shares in the book how he's thankful for the doctors, but yet they're still holding faith for their son, and God has kept them. You see, there's just a balance there. There just is. So how should we respond when we're like, well, I have faith, but I'm not getting healed? Well, we have to cling to his promises. Like I said, we need to be persistent. Waiting for healing can be miserable. Because everything in you is saying it's not going to happen. It's a waste of time. God's not hearing you. It's impossible. And sometimes we just got to persevere. Sometimes it's not immediate. So you just keep praying. You just keep praying. You just keep believing God. That's what they're doing with their son. We have to remember, sometimes God's timing is intentional. I think about Rose's mom. You know, we found out later. And Margie, if you're listening to this, you are a miracle. Because she was at the stage where it should have taken her life. But that was began the process of her seeing her need for the Lord. And I began to pray with her every night. And she got saved through that. And God used doctors, but she got healed, and she's been cancer-free for 11 years. She's 85 now. That's God. I believe God has kept her. God has kept her clean from cancer. So he's faithful. He's good. He hears our prayers. So can someone who has great faith yet never receive a healing breakthrough? I know a woman that happened to. Her name was Edna. If anyone had faith, Edna had faith. And she basically got it in her head and believed that God was going to heal her. And she held faith to the day she died. She died from her illness. And I always think about that, like, when Jesus saw her, was he upset with her because she didn't let the doctors? Either way, you know, you got to trust the Lord either way, but of course not. He bless you, daughter. Come home. Come home. You honored me with your faith. And that's all God asks us to do, is to believe him and to have faith in him and not to doubt him. And when we do that, it's pleasing to him. When we're not accusing him and telling him you won't, you're choosing not to, whatever. No, you're good, Lord. I trust you. I believe you. I know you're more than able, Lord, and I thank you for your goodness in my life, and I believe you, God, until the day I die. I'm trusting in you. Now, Hebrews 11 is for us kind of a help in this whole idea of faith. And this is important because, and I've shared this with you guys, there's a great number of verses in Hebrews 11 in the beginning that to us looks like what faith should be, right? People raising people from the dead, subduing kingdoms, shutting the mouths of lions, right? And it is a list of what this thing and that thing. And like, yeah, yeah, faith to move mountains, yeah. And the list goes on and on and on. But then it changes. And what we see is, in the next few verses, we see a different side of faith. We're told others who had great faith were mocked. They were tortured. They were put in prison. They were miserable, mistreated. Some were actually martyred. They were tortured. Others suffered mocking, flogging, sawn in two, killed with a sword. They went in skins of sheep. They were destitute. They were afflicted. They were mistreated. See, that does away with the whole wealth, health, prosperity gospel. That is such a lie from the pit of hell because there's some truth in it. But they take it to a place that Scripture doesn't. This is a balanced look at great faith. Great faith doesn't mean we don't suffer. Great faith doesn't mean we don't die one day from a sickness. Great faith doesn't mean we're not persecuted and we don't suffer here in this life. Great faith is we bless God all the way through it. And we hold and stand fast in the faith. And we allow God to be glorified in our suffering. That's what faith is. So that's what Hebrews teaches us. So I've seen people lose their faith because they were praying for a loved one and God didn't heal them and they died. And there's one lady I'm thinking of, and it's a very, very sad story. Her husband knew the Lord, and again, if anyone held faith, she did. But I think it almost got to the place where it was demanding. And again, that's where I think we get away from what true faith in God is. It's not demanding. It's believing and trusting that he's good, that he's willing, but if he doesn't, he's still good. And if he chose to heal him by bringing him home, then that's God's choice. So I believe he got his healing, and it was his time. Like I said, we're all going to die one day. So you pray up to the death, just like David prayed for that baby. But it says when the baby died, because he said, if the Lord, you know, perhaps will have mercy, you know, but it didn't happen. What does it say he did after he died? He got up and he worshiped. God's still good. Even though the baby died, he's still good. I'm going to bless his name. And that's how our attitude needs to be. So I'll just say, all the same works that Jesus did are still being done today. And God wants us to believe it's happening all over the world. Trust me. And he finishes his book by basically saying, he says, again, and I just shared this with you, at the time of writing this book, Croy is 13, Jude is 10. Okay, so that's the age of his kids. Croy has been taken off all his seizure medications. Jesus healed him. The Lord did what no treatment, drug, or supplement could do. Through the 8 years of siege, though the 8 years of seizures took its toll on him, I can happily report he is recovering well. Jude had brain surgery as an infant. The amazing team at Cincinnati Children's Hospital removed 90% of his tumor, then tried to stabilize the remaining 10% with a year of chemotherapy. The Lord blessed this approach. Hallelujah. Today, Jude is living a normal, active, adventurous life with a very small tumor in his brain. So again, if healing's available today, why do Christians still get sick and die? Healing is not meant to keep us alive forever. It just isn't. We're going to die one day, okay? Healing gives us a foretaste of heaven. There's only one place where there's no sickness, no death, no crying, no sorrow. And that's when we get to heaven. And that's where our faith needs to be. And that's why we could bless the Lord, oh my soul. So we're going to pray afterwards, and we're going to pray for my wife. We're going to pray for anyone that has a need here, and we're going to believe God for healing. But not just physical. If you have an emotional need, if you have a need that's mental, whatever it is, whatever need you have, I don't even want to put categories out of there. We want to pray with you. We want to believe God to touch you and to meet that need today because he's willing and he's able, okay? So bless the Lord who heals all of our diseases. All right, so I parked there a little bit. So I'm going to go on now. Bless the Lord who redeems your life from destruction. This can go along with, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. In other words, like I said earlier, he saves us from that second death. Again, he doesn't have to do one more thing to me. Bless the Lord if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to get up inside. You need to bless the Lord that he has saved you from that second death. Bless the Lord who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I don't know about you, but as I look back on my life, as difficult as some of the times in my life were and still can be, all I see is kindness and the goodness of the Lord. Think about your life. Think about your life. And if you don't see that, I pray God will help you to see that because it's true. Whether you believe it or not, God, your whole life, he saw you when you were knit in your mother's womb. He has been working behind the scenes. We get such a beautiful picture of this in Psalm 139, where we just see he is so intricately involved in all of our lives to every little detail. And his whole being, his whole purpose is to do good, to rescue us, to save us, to do good to us. Because he's kind and he has tender mercies. To me, it's just a picture of the gentleness of God. I can't tell you how many times I was waiting for the big stick And all I got was a hug. And I love you. He's never what I picture him to be like. He's always who he says he is. He's good. I think Justin shared a story, about his dad. It kind of reminded me of that. And, you know, we could be that way with God. I can't go to him. He'll kick me out of the house. You know, that happened with my dad once. I mean, I had done the ultimate to where I just thought, he's probably sorry he even had me. And he came home and I'm sitting on the bed and I'm looking down. He said, look at me, what's wrong? I said, you probably wish I was never your son. He said, you're my son, I'll always be proud of you. I didn't expect that. How much more our Father in heaven, right? He's kind. He's kind. He's been nothing but good to all of us. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We have so much to bless him for, so much. He satisfies our mouths with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's a Psalm 34, this is the one I was singing earlier, where he's saying, taste and see, the Lord is good. I remember Rose got baptized at Brownsville. She was slamming the water. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll never forget that. That's how it should be. It was real to her at that moment. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. No want. The young lions lack and suffer, but those who seek the Lord, they will not lack any good thing. Well, I don't know. You see my life lately, Pastor? That's how what we're like. No, he is good. He has done nothing but good to you. If you fear him, if you're trusting him, if you're in sin and rebellion, then, well, you're not experiencing his goodness. He wants to do good for you, but you're not experiencing because you're not letting him. That's all it is. But even that, he's using to try and draw you to himself. You understand? He doesn't stop being good because we're in sin and in rebellion. If anything, his goodness, not if anything, the Bible tells us, leads us to repentance. Isaiah 40 speaks the same thing as this psalm in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths will faint and be weary, and young men will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings of eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. See, that's how we endure. We trust him. We bless his name. We confess at our mouths, Lord, you're good. I trust you. I believe you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's how you endure. You fix your eyes on Jesus. You consider what he went through to do good to you. You remember, you remind yourself of all of his benefits. And somehow in the midst of that, as you're trusting him, as you simply believe him, he gives you the grace and the strength that you don't have in yourself. And he upholds you. And you mount up like an eagle. And you fly above all the tribulation and the trials. They're still there, but somehow he raises you above it. So if that's you today, he wants to lift you above your circumstances, whatever that might be. And he wants to strengthen you and give you the grace you need. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Are you oppressed? Are you heavy? Are you groaning inside? He hears it. Just like he heard the groaning of the children of Israel who were oppressed by an enemy. He heard them and he sent Moses and he delivered them. He's good. Do you remember when you were in chains? Do you remember when you were behind bars spiritually? Bless the Lord who broke the chains asunder. Bless the Lord who routed your enemy. Bless the Lord who gave you deliverance. Bless the Lord. He heard your groaning. He saw your oppression. He saw how the enemy had you and he made a way for you. He heard your cry and he delivered you. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'll just finish reading the rest of this psalm because now it's just recounting. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Bless the Lord. The Lord's so great is his mercy. I'm sorry. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. He remembers that way more than we do. You understand he dwells in eternity. We don't. And it's hard for us sometimes because we dwell in time. And this to us seems like almost an eternity to us, our lives. You know, if we live long enough, but then the older you get, what happens? Where'd all the time go? Those verses start getting a little real. When you're young, you look out at your life, you're like, oh, yeah, when I'm 30, oh, man, that's a long time away. Wait till you're 60. Wait till you're 70. You're like, where did it go? I just remember when I was 10. What happened? Then you look in the mirror. I'm dying. And then you start thinking, wow, how many years do I got left? My father was dead already at my age. So I'm living on borrowed time with my genes. But bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. This isn't it, right? Bless the Lord. He remembers, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Bless the Lord, people. We got a whole eternity before us. This ain't it. Bless the Lord. Don't let this life bog you down. Bless the Lord. He's giving you a living hope. Bless the Lord. His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those who remember his commands to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom is over all. Bless the Lord. We don't have to fret. World War III is coming. That's what they're saying now on the news. And it probably is. I don't know if you understand what's happening. Iran shot 300 missiles and drones towards Israel, and they knocked them all out of the sky. It's amazing. But it's escalating, and everyone's saying, this is it. It's World War III. It's going to happen one day. and everything could change. Our world is shaking, but we can bless the Lord, can't we? His throne's established in heaven. His throne's over all. Bless the Lord, right? Amen. So I'll finish with James, and then we're going to pray, okay? James 5, verse 7, and I'm finishing with this for a reason, because I do believe it's going to get harder, and we're going to need more faith, and we're going to need to know how to endure. We're going to need to know how to bless the Lord. We're going to need to know how to remember all of his benefits, and to really just bless his name through the hard times as they get harder and harder, so that we can be those beacons of light, so that we're not all bogged down, so that we're not distracted, but we're walking in faith and we're believing God for miracles and we're sharing the gospel with power now more than ever when people need to hear it, when maybe they'll be a little more open to it. That's why. So as James said to those who were about to suffer, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Look at the farmer, how he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Wait patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. And that has to do with murmuring, complaining, not blessing the Lord. Okay? Don't do that. Bless the Lord. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Bless the Lord. Remind yourself of his benefits. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. I just told you about it. How did he do it? He blessed the Lord. He didn't curse God. He blessed God no matter what happened, and his latter end was greater. Bless the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. No matter what's going on, he's good. He knows what he's doing. You've seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. There it is. Even in Job, very compassionate, very merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone of you sick? Let him call for the elders of church. Let him pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespass to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And again, that's not just physical. It's everything. He heals all your diseases. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man just like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So at the end there, he brings it back to what the psalmist starts with as the greatest benefit, that your sins have been forgiven. So if there's anyone here today, let's all stand. Anyone here? If you don't know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, your sins have been forgiven, that you have humbled yourself, you have repented, acknowledged your sin before God, and then surrendered your life to him and have chosen to follow him. And because you understand what he's done for you, you obey him. It's not just, if you believe that, if you believe the wrath of God is over you, if you believe the truth that if your sins aren't forgiven, you are condemned, you will experience a second death, and if you believe that the only way to have your sins cleansed, if you understand what Jesus did, you would run to him. You would throw yourself at his feet. You would beg him for mercy, to forgive you, to wash the stain of sin from your life so that you can receive forgiveness and bless his name. Bless his name with every fiber in you because you know you've been cleansed. And because of that, you give your life to him. You live the rest of your time here on earth for him. If that's not you, Jesus is here. He's good. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through now, but God does, and he's good. He's good. He loves you. He's long-suffering. He doesn't desire that any would perish. He's good. If you need cleansing for sin, he wants to forgive you. He will forgive you. He promises. So if there's anyone here, you need salvation, just come down to this altar. Just fling yourself at the mercy of God. Ask him to forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He will. He'll make you a new creation. He'll make you alive. He'll come and dwell inside of you. You'll have a reason to bless him. My heart for you, his heart for you, is that you will know he's good. But you have to repent. You have to acknowledge your need for him. Anyone online, he's good. He loves you. He's trying to save you. He doesn't want you to experience his wrath. He wants you to be with him forever. Give your heart to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have a time now as well. And, the altar's still open for that call. But anyone else, and I'm going to ask the leaders and the others that are ministering at the altar, we want to pray with you, whatever need you have. We'll be praying for Rose again, but there's other needs in here. So if you have a need, I'm going to ask parents maybe to keep the kids from coming up front while we continue to seek the Lord and pray and believe the Lord for a touch. So again, if you need to go, that's fine, but we're going to take some time and pray and believe God for a touch for whoever needs it.